TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
AfterBuzz TV.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, this is The 100, Season 3, Episode 5, Hakeldama. I'm sure I pronounced that. Hakeldama.
Hakeldama?
Hakeldama.
Is that like Dalai Lama?
Yeah. Well, actually, I looked it up because I figured it was weird. It's Aramaic for Field of Blood.
Ooh.
It's also where Judas Iscariot, the guy who betrayed Jesus. Hung himself.
Wow. That's right.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. I knew something
layered.
In Bible school, guys. I remembered.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Welcome.
But before we get into too much of that, I'm Tari J. Miller, and I'm joined by two wonderful panelists.
Aww.
Ben Bateman.
I'm Ben Bateman. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media. For those of you on audio, I'm a little congested, so I'm the same person, I promise. Just a heads up.
And Alexia.
Hi, guys. You can find me all over social media and about everything in me. Well, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. At atorres890. Sorry, I'm also I feel a little weird about this episode.
You brain congested?
Yeah, no.
It was intense.
I couldn't do it. I left a really terrible taste in my mouth.
This was one of the most intense episodes of this show that we've had. I mean, aside from the fact that just people die on this show in the groups of 50 and 100, like, pretty routinely.
Yeah, but this one was different, though.
There's, like, more death in this show. This is a question I would have. I wonder if there's another show on television.
Before you do that, you can find me at Tari J. It's TauriJay. Go ahead, Ben.
Should we maybe talk about, like, iTunes first before I just start tangenting?
Yeah, we're just going to do all of the things right now.
No, right now. We have to talk about this show. We have to talk about every...
Sure.
If you don't know... We are available on iTunes and SoundCloud and YouTube. Make sure that you like if you haven't done so already. Make sure you subscribe to get us every week right after The 100 every week on Wednesdays.
Very nice.
10 o'clock. Boom, 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 boom.
That was awesome.
I'm tired. Do you want to just tell the gang about the... I missed last week's episode. First time I've ever missed an episode of this after show.
I know.
It's true.
It's okay. But
we missed you.
You were working.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the new thing, the lighthouse you guys told me about you came up with?
Oh, yes. Oh. Please, Tari, continue before we go.
I love this. I think it's really clever.
Yes. Stick around. Once we hit all our topics, we do
The Lighthouse, where we talk about all your wonderful ships. Keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, it's a good way to not just get hung up on the ship.
For everybody who's wondering where Erin is, she couldn't make it tonight, which is fine, but send your love to Erin Lane.
Love Erin Lane, yes.
Yes, love Erin Lane.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what it was.
Love Erin Lane.
How can you not?
So please send your love to her. That'd be nice.
Okay, so now that we've gotten all of that out of the way.
Yes.
Or did we get iTunes out of the way?
Yeah, we just did that. It's
great.
All good.
Excellent. So people die on the show at such large numbers. I wonder if there's another show on television where there's just, like, more mass deaths. I mean, I'm not talking, like, something like Hatfields and McCoys or, like, you know, some sort of History Channel, like, Gladiator show or something like that where, like, armies are just squaring off every episode. But I'm talking, like, you know, a network or, like, cable show. Like, an NBC, CBS, CW kind of show.
Okay, because I was going to say, I was like, if you count Game of Thrones and Walking Dead, that's not really, I guess, network or cable, right?
Right.
Technically?
I mean, there's just a lot of death. And this is like, this death in this episode was like the sort of thing where you were kind of like, they set it up at the beginning, so maybe you're like, okay, well, maybe it's not as bad as we thought, right? They're like, maybe they didn't have to do it. And then they just did it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just a big field of dead bodies.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, I would have been disappointed if they hadn't gone through with it, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because it adds a layer of depth. So just to catch everyone up, Bellamy and crew, Pike, they killed 300 people while they were sleeping. And anyone who was wounded, they went around just executing them.
Guys.
It was the most brutal way of doing so.
To our beautiful, awesome, amazing fans, I wish that you guys could have seen my face. Because I literally just stopped for a second and realized what was going on. And I wanted to throw up because I was so disgusted at the fact of what just happened. I literally couldn't continue. I had no... I had no words. I really didn't react. I kind of just sat there and I was just like, I think I'm going to just throw up my dinner, like right here, right now in the middle of the viewing area. Like, it was so, it was just, it wasn't the usual kind of massacre that we're used to where it was like a bomb went off or whatever. Like, right. These people were just sleeping.
Also, yeah. Like, also, like, one of the big complaints I think with this episode, the only major complaint that I have is that the way that it ended up after the massacre, I think was unsatisfying to me.
What do you mean?
Well, okay, so Clark's entire point of view throughout this whole thing, right? Like her whole attitude, and this has kind of been Clark's MO since the beginning. I can fix this.
Yes.
Let me talk to them. Mm-hmm. You know, she's very much a peacekeeper.
Yeah.
And we've talked about her and characters like her on shows like this before, where that lead character, a lot of the sort of balance of the show falls on their shoulders. They have to kind of be that way. If they're too strongly in one direction, it's difficult for the shows to sort of rest on their shoulders.
Right.
Yeah. They have to be fairly balanced to keep the climate of the show the same the whole time.
Yeah.
But in this particular situation, I don't get it when she says things like, let me talk to them, I can fix this. And it's like, they just massacred 300 of your people that were here to help while they were sleeping, and then they killed the wounded. Like,
right.
How are you going to make this right, Clark?
It's just her MO. It just decides, she's just always she wants to be a fixer. She wants to fix everything. She wants to, you know, put her hand in every cookie jar that she can get her hands on, and it's not going to work. But she doesn't know anything else to do because I think she's just in shock, and she's like, I can fix it.
Yeah.
Like, I can fix it. And
she
has
a kid still. I mean, despite all
these, these guys are still, I don't think they're even in their 20s yet, right?
No. They're all still basically 18 and 19.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah. I mean, some are a little younger.
Older.
But,
yeah, some are a little younger. Some are way older. It just, it's all over the place. At first, I was like, oh, the adults don't have their crap together. But now I'm kind of like,
I mean, no one really has
their crap
together.
No one really has their crap together.
I mean, that's the one of the things I really enjoy about the show is that everyone is really human.
Yeah. Extremely.
You know, there's no one who's super perfect. No one who. No. Makes
I mean,
all
someone
the right
would
decisions.
Beg to differ with like Lexa or something of that nature, but like if we're taking a reality check, no one's really that.
Well,
perfect.
Even Lexa, not to jump too far ahead, even Lexa makes, especially this season, has made very, I guess, emotionally driven decisions.
Yeah.
Unlike the Lexa we've seen in the past, and, I mean, and you can chalk that up to her being influenced by Clark and seeing that Clark both leads and is respected and also has an emotional side.
Yeah.
But I don't think it really, like, I don't think there's anyone who's really like a standout.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, also to that end, as far as people being in high school or just post-high school age.
Yeah, about
I mean,
to be freshmen in college pretty much.
This is CW high school where 35-year-olds are playing 18.
So. I mean, yeah, that's usually how that works.
Just kidding. That's only from the casting point of view. Anyway.
I mean, and you have to say that, like, or you have to remember that Clark, from the very beginning, never chose to be the leader. Like, it was always pushed upon her, and so she felt like it was her responsibility. She threw it on her shoulders.
Yeah, and it's her personality, too, to just want to help everyone as much as she can to the point of even also helping herself. But
right.
Yeah.
I mean, so she makes it her mission. She goes out, and she's like, I'm going to talk to Bellamy.
Right.
And I'm going to essentially fix this. Did you guys ever think that her talking to Bellamy would result positively? Did you think that was going to work? Did you feel like it was doomed to fail from the beginning?
I didn't think it was doomed to fail, but I didn't think she was going to get very far. And I also didn't think they were going to. I was hoping that Bellamy was just going to turn on a dime and be like, okay, I made a mistake, let's fix this. But at the same time, deep down, I was kind of like, no, they're probably going to push this. Bellamy was very hurt and I'm a sad puppy and I need to fix it my way now instead of that thing, which I understand where he's coming from, but like, it's just such a weird thing to see him go from knowing Lincoln and that whole tribe and not tribe, but you know, clan and everything into like, no, they all have to die now.
Right.
Well, I don't understand. They're really pushing these characters, like really pushing these characters hard over kind of over some edges where it's like, it's hard to imagine from a character point of view how you redeem some of these characters' actions now.
Well, yeah, I like that you brought that up because everyone in the chat was talking about like, I don't know how they're going to make Bellamy back into a back into a good guy.
His redeeming quality there is that he spared Indra's life. Like, that's the thing that he did. But like, Bellamy feels like he's kind of like gone. Raven is clearly entering into
her own thing.
She's gonna be like, to some degree, gone. Like, she's not gonna be the same. She's gonna be changed.
Yeah.
So I mean, these characters, it's difficult. Like, I don't know. It's I guess it's the third season, so it's fine. You have to shake things up.
Right. I mean, they're definitely doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, big time.
I mean, if they can bring back Murphy and have him be a character that you, like, love to hate or just all-out love, I think that they can definitely find a way of having you relate to these characters. Because, essentially, we have this moment where Bellamy is explaining how he felt to Clark. And the fact that she left them.
No,
she made these big decisions and has always from the beginning and then didn't deal with any of the fallout.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I understand why he's upset completely, but it's just a weird result that he has of the fact of just like now I want to do it my way, but he's also killing, like he was talking about how she's killed a bunch of people, but I'm like, but you know that you just killed a bunch of innocent people though? Your negotiations don't work. Your logic doesn't make sense.
Well, then also, what about the way that back in Arcadia, now what's happened with the way they're treating Grounders even internally with the internment? I mean, that's right. Like that. I feel like, okay, so can we cover Pike yet, or are we not quite there yet? Do we need to kind of wait on that? Like, it's kind of its own can of worms. So I don't want to just like interrupt this tangent to go down there because there's obviously a lot of strong feelings on that. But I feel like it's sort of related.
I mean, yeah, it's all related. I was kind of hanging out in Clark Bellamy Town.
Okay.
But if we're ready to move on to Pike, I'm totes down because that guy.
I liked that we finally got Bellamy and Clark to again sit down and have their. The acting was fantastic. I wanted before we move on from that. Right. I thought the acting was there. The emotion was there. It was a great scene. And the fact of turning on her and handcuffing her to the table.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just showing me how like Bellamy has completely changed, and I don't know how they're gonna. Backpedal back into Bellamy's a hero kind of thing. But then that's where my prediction would come in of like he's putting up a front to be on Pike's side and kind of just stay within the group and try to learn more. But at the same time, I wouldn't be able to stomach killing innocent people. So I don't know.
I mean, Bellamy as a character is definitely getting to interesting territory because he, like, this is okay. And this is like something I started to notice about, and this relates to Pike, but it's very much evident in Bellamy because he was a character we were so familiar with for so long. Mm-hmm. So if the show is shifting point of views a little bit, right? The people of Arcadia, their point of view in sort of supporting and voting for Pike, they feel very like struck down by the Grounders, very attacked by them. And obviously what happened in Mount Weather, losing so many other people. So Bellamy now represents kind of, he's like the representative member of the group who's like, I used to be sympathetic. I'm no longer sympathetic. I'm on Pike's side. It's a hard decision to make. And maybe we went a little too far, but I still believe in what I did. And it's definitely interesting to watch the show shift point of views where, as an audience, you can sort of try to understand, like, I get where you're coming from. Maybe you are going to come back to Earth, and you are going to be a character that we love, and you're just going to have to sit with this really, really dark stuff that you did. And that's going to just be a part of who you are now.
Yeah.
Which is what happens during war, and what happens in these type of stories. I mean, this started out as a post-apocalyptic story with a bunch of kids on the ground and we're back bitches, mm-hmm. which is like... It seemed a little, at the very beginning, those first few episodes seemed a little corny. Like, oh, how are they going to make this interesting? Now we're just eons later. Like, now we're in such a world where the stakes are real. It's very intense. And it is a war story. This is no longer just like post-apocalyptic high school kids on Earth. This is war. And so Bellamy is a character who's caught in the middle of that. And I think to some degree, though I feel they're pushing his character over the edge, and it's going to be hard to bring him back, he might not be able to come back. This might just be his character now.
Well, that was going to be my question.
But you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was going to be my question is, do we need Bellamy as a hero? Like, in the world that's been created, there aren't really any heroes or villains. There are only people with opposing viewpoints.
Right.
Yeah. That's a really tough question because I've always seen him as being one for the people. And even though he, in Pike's mind, in his mind, he is trying to be one, you know, doing this for the people, but I'm like, but you're not really helping anybody. So that's where I'm at, where I'm kind of like, I understand what you're trying to do, and you're trying to stand by your you know, Arcadia, but I'm like, are you really, though?
Right.
I find it really interesting also that the point of view that Bellamy and Pike have, it's so prejudice. It's so hardcore prejudice. It's like a race issue, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's Grounders. That's the issue, right?
Yeah.
It's not like Lincoln's a good Grounder. These are the ones helping us. These are the bad ones. It's straight up black and white, for lack of, I mean.
Yes,
binary.
Yes, yeah. Binary, black and white. And so I find that interesting that they haven't touched once on the fact that Pike is a black character leading this.
No, they right. did. Well, they haven't touched it in the show, but the fans have caught on to it like immediately.
Which is fascinating from the point, like, again, it, as a show that's pushing boundaries with sexual orientation, with women as leaders of tribes, like, the fact that that's a storyline, he just, like, massacred, genocide 300 people.
Yeah.
And he is not a white male character. Like, that's we should be talking about that. I mean, that's something to pay attention to, I feel like.
I agree.
I mean, yeah, it's a very interesting viewpoint. Because, yes, usually the big massacring characters are these, like, square-jawed, tall, white guys.
Johnny Wentworth, that's the son in last season.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But go ahead.
I was gonna say I thought we were moving on to Pike next since we were starting.
I was just about to jump in there.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Yeah, I mean Pike. we have this guy who does happen to be African American, and he's laying down the law.
He's
putting grounders into internment camps. He's stripping people of their titles. He is basically introduced a new world order.
Yeah.
Under the guise of essentially kind of conserving their resources, which you can understand because they just had a big farm of resources taken away from them, that being Mount Weather.
Yeah.
So now they have to figure out how to live on without the additional resources.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, though the point of view shifting to the people supporting Pike, and the way that I suppose if you were to think about this story in the context of a war, like a war that we would have read about in American or in world history, and the kind of leaders that inspire these the side that wins, essentially.
Right.
You read about these people, and sometimes they are just, and sometimes they're tyrannical, but whatever it is, they seize their power in some way, there's an army behind them, and they come out on top, and they're written about. I mean, you're watching this and you're imagining, okay, if this is a part of this new world history that we're watching, and Pike is that leader who has seized power, and he is, then all of the people that are following him that are in Arcadia, all of the young people, especially the young people, the children who are seeing this as an act of revenge and they're following him, and he's sort of had this great victory of 300 deaths and all that. I guess you wonder, he feels like such a villain. But I wonder if we're supposed to think about this with more of an open mind. I wonder if we're not supposed to think about him so clearly as a villain and more as maybe he actually has a point. Because what you're saying, that he's conserving resources, not that killing is correct, but maybe that his point of view is a valid point of view. And that's Bellamy as a character we love who is relating to this point of view.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's almost, if you want to think of it in a certain way, he's kind of like the old colonialist in that he is taking this land for his own.
Yep.
They are the savages, and he is essentially issuing that this land manifest destiny on Earth.
Sorry, I was thinking of Pocahontas this whole time. I was just having the song "Savages" going through my head.
That's what
he's
getting at.
Yeah, I was just about to start singing it.
But a lot of people, obviously, if you want to relate it to like modern times, a lot of people are comparing Pike to Trump.
That's the
biggest thing. And then the fact of like having, like a lot of people are talking about in the chat, of the fact that we have, speaking of race, that we had Jaha come back.
Yeah.
And he is also a black character, or a black actor with another black actor, you know, having to see their different views, which, you know, that's probably why I feel so close to this storyline, is the fact of people of color have to go there, and white people too, actually. Everyone has to go through the same thing of like, you're not black enough, you're not white enough, you're not this, and you're not that. So it's the same thing. So, and the fact that there is racism within the same, like, your own race and things like that. So it was just, people are just talking about that as well. But I'm more interested because I want to see where because I didn't understand when they decided, when Jaha came into the camp and was talking to Pike and what he wants to save everybody.
Yeah.
That I didn't know exactly where they were going with that at first, because I was like, oh, he's here. Okay, and then I was like, oh, okay, they need followers. Okay, that's
right.
I like that. I really like that they
brought him back.
And what Rothenberg talked about with the Murphy and the Jaha storylines, we opened on that with the season, and it really, we complained about it a little in the first episode. Is like, I don't really care about the storyline. Why is this happening?
I just didn't know it was going to come back.
And it's been such in the background now the last few episodes.
Yeah.
It's starting to kind of weave back in a little bit. And I actually like how they're using it.
Me too.
It's interesting. It's just a little bit, but it's effective where they are. And Jaha has turned into like this brilliantly effective cult leader. Yeah. He's really creepy.
he's charismatic. Really good for that. Yeah.
He's a people wrangler.
It's just hilarious too, because once again, you think back to that first season, you think about him going down in that missile and how preposterous the idea of him re-entering Earth's orbit in a missile case.
I forgot about that actually. It was a missile case.
Stepping out of the missile with the parachute and being like, ha ha!
And then, I made it.
Yeah. Right. And then now he's this brilliant cult leader. Like, what a cool use of the character.
I just can't wait to see Allie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what her main goal is besides just having a bunch of followers as like a cult thing. I want to see what the end result is besides just having a bunch of people to follow her.
Right.
Like, what is her main goal? And I want to know what it is.
Yeah,
I know that we're jumping around, but
before we jump there, I did want to touch, because we started talking about the internment a little bit.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of Lincoln. I just wanted to get into that just a little bit, because
everybody thinks he's gonna die.
It seems like it. I mean, they're using his character as a little bit of a chess piece. He's definitely caught in a really difficult sort of rock and a hard place situation right now.
Yeah.
What do you think, Tari? sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry. You can go.
let him finish. What were you saying, Ben?
That's not that important. Go ahead, Tari.
Oh, sweet. As Ben was probably going to say, Lincoln is in very much in between these two worlds, and he's trying to keep the peace as much as possible, so he's going along with it. But like, you can tell that he's super ragey right now, because it's his people. That's what he is. Like, you could see his hand shaking when Bellamy was in the same room with him, because they killed his people. I don't think at the time he knew the extent of it. But essentially, he's still trying to be the ambassador between the two nations, but it's getting harder and harder. Yeah. And now he's basically knee deep in Grounder prison.
Sorry, I thought you were gonna say something totally different.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, he's knee deep.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. These type of situations, if you compare this to say like a film about World War II or something like a very historically difficult war with a ton of death and a ton of genocide.
Yeah.
It's not like the kind of resolution we're hoping to see happen between these two sides in the next couple of episodes is not how historically it works in war. If you're interning people of another race and you're keeping them captive because of essentially their gender, their religious affiliation, whatever it is, the color of their skin, it usually doesn't end well. And if you have one person from the other side who's on your side and he's kind of getting along with you and you just massacre a bunch of his people, it's not like he's just going to comfortably still be on your side. Like, oh, you're cool with me, but you just killed 300 of my people. So, you know, but we're still good because you didn't kill me. It's like, that's just not how it works.
Well, I mean, just to kind of piggyback off of that, it's exactly what happened after Pearl Harbor, where we started interning all the Japanese citizens, people who weren't even, who maybe have never seen Japan in their life, but were of Japanese descent, just for the simple fact that we thought that maybe they'll retaliate from the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of, was I was like, okay. So that's where we're going, which makes sense. So,
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, you just wonder what's going to happen with Lincoln's character. It was nice to see him get, like you said, ragey.
Yes.
So that's him get a little bit. It was nice to see him get a little aggressive, though.
Hashtag ragey.
He is such Lincoln a badass. Ragey. I wanted to see him, I wanted them to give us four more savage punches on that dude's head. I wanted him to, knock that dude out, almost kill him.
I thought he was going to.
How much of a warrior he is.
But it also shows how not extremely cool-headed Pike is, but the fact that he just literally just kind of rolled up and just had his gun that already, and the fact that Abby and everyone had to be like, Lincoln, and he's like, what? Oh, right, I forgot that she's still here and he has a gun to her head. So it's very interesting to see how he was trying to not be violent, but now he's hit that point of like, no, you killed everybody, you must die.
What do you think's gonna happen to Pike? I mean, do you guys think, how many episodes do you think he's alive? Do you think he's around for a while?
Ooh, I want to see what your prediction is on how long he lasts. What do you give him? Bets. Go.
I think he's gonna make it. I think he's gonna make it to the end of the season.
That is not my guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because he has a very specific point of view. He's a character that people are emotionally invested in.
Yeah.
And I could see him, because at first people weren't big fans of Jaha either. Not in terms of audience, but in terms of his character, because he had to make the difficult choices. If anything, Pike is who Jaha used to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it'll last
a while.
That's
kind of interesting to see how Jaha has become a totally different person to now seeing Pike, who, you know, we haven't seen, but he was part of the arc, now becoming what Jaha was. That's very interesting. And everyone's talking about how that Pike needs to die, obviously.
Yep.
And I love how someone was talking about how Allie is not reading people's, not reactions, but like body language and things correctly. Except for like certain things, especially with Pike. But Jaha was able to do that.
How she's not reading the, or how
she's like she's been she was incorrect. So remember when she said, "Oh, you're losing him," and then all of a sudden he was like, "Okay, yeah, do whatever you want to do," you know, kind of thing.
I thought she just meant that in terms of like, because he was essentially trying to convert him a bit, and I think she was just saying that he's not in your camp, but at the same time, like, he doesn't see you as a threat.
No, I thought it was the fact that you're losing him, meaning that he was losing interest, and that he was just going to be, he was going to, not retaliate, but he was going to react in a whole different way. Right. And he was just kind of like, you know what, go ahead, you know, do whatever, I think people really need this right now. Because her face looked like, oh, I was not expecting that to happen, kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Just a minute ago, the user Ummakashin just asked the question, that do we think that if Lincoln dies, Octavia disowns Bellamy, and then that snaps Bellamy out of his violent funk? And I don't know all of those.
I don't think it's gonna be Lincoln.
Things
though.
Are that connected, but I do think that if Lincoln dies, that might be the thing that brings Bellamy sort of back. I could see that being. I could see Lincoln dying and that creating the rift between Octavia and Bellamy being the thing that wakes Bellamy up to having to be like an honorable dude again.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. Interesting, but.
I think that Lincoln's going to save Bellamy during some sort of act of war. And then he will realize, I have made a giant doo-doo and I need to fix it.
Right.
Because then she will hold it over his head forever.
Right.
That is my prediction.
Yes. Before we get to actual predictions, can we talk... I'd like to talk about Murphy and Emery for a little bit.
Yes, please. Sure. I'm very... I love how you called it. That we were watching it and Tari was just like, oh, I bet you she's part of it. And I'm like, part of what? Oh, the City of Light. And then all of a sudden we saw... Well,
well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Sorry, I keep interrupting. I'll just,
hey, calm down, Alexis.
Oh, sorry.
Get it together. No. Yeah, essentially she had one of those City of Light pills. And what I had hypothesized or what I had thought was that she is ultimately just there to bring Murphy back into the fold. Hi, Alexis. Is there something in the chat?
Somebody, Incredible Ted, said Lexa has an infinity tattoo on her neck.
Oh, does she?
I missed that. Apparently, that's what everyone's saying.
Okay.
Well, remember, those grounders did say that they had the... I can't remember what the symbol was.
They said it was the sacred symbol.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It really caught me off guard. I was just like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, the sacred symbol. Maybe they're trying to connect those things in a way that we missed a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll get a little bit more like beaten over the head with that information if it's supposed to be
relevant. Which is going
to
be happening next episode, it seems like.
In the next few weeks, yeah.
Right. Yes. So yeah, I mean, basically they were playing Bonnie and Clyde and they got caught by the grounders and the only thing that saved him was that symbol.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, do you guys think that do you guys think that these grounders are part of not the coalition, but like Lex's group? And beyond that, do you guys think that Murphy's going to have to join them or he's going to become their new leader, something to that effect? Like, what do you guys think is going to happen to Murphy?
I'm so in the dark with that story. It's so peripheral for me at this point. I really feel I'm watching it happen and I'm waiting for it to like reveal itself as more clear. It still feels just way on the fringes for me.
Okay.
I feel like that he's probably going to be because he has a mouth, so he's probably going to get tortured a little bit for information. And then eventually he's probably going to say something really stupid and then maybe eventually be in their good graces, maybe because he knows something or he was there.
Right.
And then he'll be like, oh my gosh, you were there? What does it mean? And they're probably just, I don't think he's going to be a god or anything, but he will definitely be some sort of advisor that will be looked up upon.
Yeah.
Okay.
In some way, shape, or form.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I think that ultimately they're going to find a way to use that to connect him back to the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Whether it be that the sacred symbol is used by everyone who used to be part of the City of Light, so now it's a fringe group that's part of the grounders, something to that effect.
I'm just trying to figure out if the City of Light is a completely terrible thing and the grounders fear it because it's sacred, or what Shinko said in the chat was City of Light equals I'm really thinking it goes along with the grounders and their belief in reincarnation. Because the fact that, remember how if she dies, whoever is the next commander will come forth and take over.
Right. Yeah.
So that could also be a thing. I don't know. But I feel like it's a toss-up between the two. It could either be really, really bad or something that they believe in, like a new god or something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, speaking of... There goes my pin. Speaking of the City of Light...
I don't need it.
I like that Allie had chosen Raven specifically
to
be part of the group because she's so pig-headed that like if she falls into the fold and she's starting to sing the praises then everyone will just start lining up.
It'll be very interesting too.
It's honestly a good use of her character because Lindsay Morgan, who I'm a fan of, by the way.
I didn't
know that.
Wow.
I like Lindsay Morgan.
You haven't mentioned it once.
This is the first time I've ever heard of that.
This will be my obligatory episode, guys. Tweet at Lindsay Morgan. Get her on the show. We really would love to have her in here. We think she's wonderful. We all do. We talk about it a lot.
Totally.
But I like that they're using her character in a new story, like an interesting storyline. Because the last time she got like a really interesting piece of plot development was, two times ago was when she actually lost her leg in the Finn storyline. And then there was the, what's his name? The guy we're forgetting.
Forget his name every single time.
Wick.
Wick.
Thank you.
Yeah. There was the Wick storyline.
I wanted to say Whack. That was not his name.
Yeah.
Which he didn't last. So this is the new angle, new direction. And it's nice because it's an interesting use of her character and she's in a good place. What's up?
Wait, Ben, you're a fan?
Huge fan. I think I wrote a song for her twice. You know, maybe there'll be another one. I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
Anyway, but I'm glad to see that things are going in that direction with her character. I like that they're using her in a way and making her a focal point of a new story.
Yeah. So. Did you guys think that she would be healed immediately?
Yes.
Yeah? Is she actually healed or is it just in her head?
No, I think there's something. There has to be something that makes her feel, maybe turning off her. Because according to the preview for next week, apparently they don't feel pain, but there's also something else that's going on. So I feel like it turns off their nerves, like the feeling in their nerves, something with their nervous system.
Yeah.
And that's why they just don't care about things and they can just die. And even though, remember when O-Tang was shot, he didn't look like he was kind of in pain. He kind of just
went. He kind of just died.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I was noticing on the chat, someone said a song, he's got it bad. I've had it bad, guys.
Like, since day one, guys.
Yes.
Just as an actress, though, I just think she's great.
But no, like, all of her scenes this episode were fantastic. Like, her just, like, throwing all the stuff off the table. And just, you can tell that she's going through something absolutely terrible.
Yeah, 100%.
And when she used the... pill. I keep wanting to use like Matrix, like red or blue.
Right.
That she just, you can see the relief completely wipe over her, and it was instant, and it was great.
Yeah.
I want to just ask quickly before we run out of time about Octavia.
Yes.
I wanted to just talk about like her and Indra and like just that whole entire exchange.
Okay.
First of all, why do you think that Indra was left alive? Like, why do you think that they allowed Bellamy to convince them to leave her? To send a message, as they said.
Because the fact that Indra was the one that was pretty much up Pike's butt from, like, when they met. So, of course, they would trust Indra more than just regular people that, obviously, we haven't seen. And she's the right hand to the commander.
Right.
Might as well leave her alive.
Still feels like, wouldn't you just leave someone who was way less important, who's way less of a badass warrior?
Nope.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
I mean, they left her in pretty critical condition, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to survive? She seems like it, right?
I think her adrenaline and her willpower will help her through the pain.
Yeah. I mean, she was bandaged up. She was talking in full sentence. I think she'll be fine. And I feel like in the next few episodes, she'll be the one leading the charge.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think she's going to go against her commander. I think at one point, I really think she'll try to kill Pike.
We have to talk about Lexa's decision.
Right.
Yes, before we go, please.
So, I mean, Clark, in her naivete wanted her to essentially break the cycle. We know that grounder way is blood for blood.
Yeah.
And we saw with Finn, who only killed 18 people, which demanded that he be killed. And it almost started a whole nother war, etc. So now we have that like double tripled, hey, Finn's dead.
I know, thank you for that. You're welcome. Yeah, thanks, Abby. Just like, you're useful. I'm like, okay, thanks. Yeah. You can go now, Sassy Abby. Jesus.
Sassy Abby.
She is sassy. Like her, actually, this is something I forgot, just on the point of Abby. The one comment she gave to Raven where she's like, number one, your leg is never going to heal, followed by, you can still be useful.
That's what I'm saying.
Pretty like, whoa, like, way to kick a woman while she's down.
I literally rolled my eyes so far back, my head hurts. Yeah. I was just like, Abby, shut the float up. Like, nobody cares. She don't play around.
Yeah.
I mean, Raven came at her hard, and she came right back.
And and that's fine. It was justified, but damn, Abby.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically, Clark convinces Lexa not to retaliate.
Makes no sense.
Like, okay, right, go ahead.
Makes no sense. That's the part of the episode I'm talking about. That was my big issue. Yes. It was like, I get it. She's like, okay, a lot of people are going to die. This massacre. Indra said, I don't know if we can beat their guns. So maybe there's a part of her that's just like, I'm going to kill hundreds and hundreds of my people and their people doing this. So it's a waste of time. It's a waste of blood. But it's like, what do you mean let it go? Your people were there to help. They weren't even attacking.
Right.
You sent them there. They were there peacefully to help, and they got murdered while sleeping. You can't get talked out of that.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't understand. Lexa has been raised in this culture. She's a warrior. She's such a stone cold BA. Like, I don't understand. Like, how can Clark convince her just by being like, break the cycle, Lexa. Just break the cycle and spare my people. If I was Lexa, I would just kill Clark and go, like, just for even suggesting that. I mean, I wouldn't really kill Clark. That's not what would really happen. But my attitude would be like, shut your mouth.
Right.
That was 300 of my people. How would you feel if my people just went in and they were like, oh, yeah, we're just going to protect Arcadia. Heads up, we just killed 300 of your people, Clark.
Yeah.
Even though we were going to protect them.
Right. Well, Alexis, you seem to have thoughts.
Everyone's going to hate me for saying this, but I'm okay with Lexa making this decision. But, I think that she shouldn't shed a little bit of blood, which would be the people who are completely against the Grounders, which is obviously Farm Station, should pay for what the crimes that they've committed.
Right.
But I don't think that the people who are in Arcadia who were dissuaded by a smooth talker named Pike should die.
Well, that's the thing, though, is how do you distinguish
who
that's where it's going to be a little, that's why it's going to be a little rough, right. I think. But I really feel that Lexa deciding that the fact that she's, since birth, she's had to deal with war and bloodshed, and this is her way of life. Cool. And Clark, what she said, I understand what she meant, and it's crazy that, you know, that she was able to just convince her on the dime, but that's obviously some other emotions that we've already seen.
Yeah.
That she trusts Clark immediately, even though she wanted to kill her. But I feel that more bloodshed is not the answer.
How much of Lexa's willingness to soften up is driven by the fact that, as one of our chat members just suggested, she's whipped AF?
I mean, that is very correct.
Do you think that's a major reason that she's listening?
I don't think so. I think it's more of a respect thing, and that, like, I think I had mentioned it earlier that she respects Clark, and she thinks that Clark might know something that she doesn't, something that they, as a group, the tree crew haven't come to find. Though I feel like this decision is the final nail in Lex's coffin. She's already been overthrown twice.
Yep.
So now this will be the final step that, like, even the people who had her back will turn on her.
Yeah. I guess there is inevitably, like, that can happen. Like, we've just been sitting here being like, well, Lexa's just the coolest, so, like, she'll never lose her throne, but...
Right.
I think this is the season where either A, Lexa will die, and we will get a new commander, which I'm not saying I want her to, but I think this is the time.
Right.
Two, I think that her showing the fact that she's not going to kill every single person in Arcadia will also show off to Pike, hey, we're not complete jerk faces and we want to kill all of you because that's what you think that we are. We're savages.
Right.
We're here to negotiate peace. And even though we've already done that, and technically people who have been in Arcadia have already seen that, they're forgetting because of someone who came in, saw death, and has convinced the whole camp to do that.
Right.
But I feel like if they see it again in person, maybe with Clark, Abby, Kane, everybody there showing like, hey, we're still here, they haven't done anything, and she's here now to talk to us about it, then sure. And then eventually, like I said, blood for blood will come up because Pike will obviously have his issue, and then it will cause it.
I got approved.
Explosion.
Well, we haven't yet been approved, but or maybe we have, I'm just rambling now, but Paley Fest is coming up, and I'm covering the Fear the Walking Dead panel there.
Right.
And she's on Fear the Walking Dead.
That's right.
Yes. So maybe, just maybe, I'll actually get a chance to
slip in
ask,
a question.
Yeah, Alexa, some 100 questions.
Yeah.
That would be
awesome.
That'd
be great.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So hopefully Ooh. That happens.
Okay. All I know right. we don't have a lot of time. We should probably jump into predictions or no?
Yes.
Thanks for queuing predictions.
And now
you're welcome.
You're after Buzz.
I don't really need to do anything. I don't need to be
I'm
here.
Just gonna, you know what? I'm just gonna go over here. It's cool.
I mean, we've been predicting a lot
throughout
this episode.
The show. Yeah.
So I mean, if you guys have any super duper crazy burning predictions, we know from the next episode preview, and if you qualify this as a spoiler, then you know, cover your ears, that Abby is investigating the City of Light pill.
Right.
And there seem to be insane side effects, and we're going to see the other side, and maybe we'll get more information on its origin and what it does and how it works and the purpose behind the City of Light religion or cult, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I think that all seems pretty reasonable to expect based on what we've seen.
Yeah.
I think my prediction probably has something to do with something you were talking about, mm-hmm. Alexis, about
yeah.
Indra
mm-hmm. yeah.
and the
yeah.
fact mm-hmm. that I think that she is 100% going to be leading the charge against Sky Crew, and I don't think Lexa, like, I just think there'll be some drama there, and
yeah.
I think that there's going to be some retaliation, and I mean, as you said in one of my notes, was like, this is just Finn times a million, so
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to need a similar resolution for there not to be an all out war. Also, what is Prince Rowan's role going to be? With Ice, like, the Ice Queen is dead now,
right?
But I mean, just the idea that, like, Arcadia would murder, because to some degree I think the Ice Nation and Rowan is like an ally of Lexa now a little bit, right?
Yes,
because she killed the mom.
Yes.
So I wonder if Rowan will be by Indra's side, like, they massacred 300 of your people, I'm going over Lexa's head, we're gonna march. And then Clark, I don't know, maybe he's brought into the fold somehow.
Yeah, well, it would only make sense that they essentially put like, dramatically it would make sense that the guy that they allowed to be in power now takes power away from Lexa.
Right.
So that would be a really interesting way to go, and I think it would keep the whole thing moving. I know that Rothenberg has mentioned that there is going to be a big, like, I will say a big enemy coming down the line, which I think is going to be Rowan. He had also mentioned in another interview that basically killing the 300 might not have been such a bad idea, and we'll find out in the next few episodes why.
Huh. So maybe they actually were up to no good. Maybe there was a double cross coming or something. Who knows?
Maybe.
We'll find out. What do you got? Anything?
What?
Anything? Predictions?
I was just reading the chat.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Anything interested in that?
No, I think I said my piece already.
Okay. All right. Sweet. I am going to wrap up.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you again for joining us. And if this was your first time, welcome. I'm so glad to have had you.
Yeah.
Remember to come back every Wednesday, 10 o'clock. And I'm joined by...
My name is Ben Bateman. You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media. I didn't cough one time.
Nice.
I'm proud of myself.
Yeah. No congestion there.
Yeah. Alexis, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on the internet at atoris890.
Sweet. And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. It's TauriJay. Once again, thank you. Remember to like, subscribe, leave us comments below. Tell us what you thought about the episode as well. And until next week, stay grounded.
Stay grounded.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.